Come, Holy Spirit, and touch my lips. Come, Holy Spirit, and illuminate our minds. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill our hearts with love for you. Amen. Alleluia! Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. These are the opening acclamations. Usually we would be saying them to one another in our service at church, and there would be great rejoicing. We've come through the darkness of Holy Week. We've stripped the church out and taken the altar cloths and the candles and the flowers away. And we haven't sung the Gloria for 6 weeks during Lent, a time that was to be looking at our own faith. It was about reflection and thought, so that we could then come to today, Easter Day, to rejoice in the risen Lord, to rejoice in the things that we have found out about ourselves and our faith. None of us could have believed at all what has happened, and none of us could have realised perhaps the depths to which our faith has had to be plundered to get through these last few weeks. Or maybe you haven't found that your faith has needed to be plundered. Maybe your faith is just there. It is the thing that has held you through these last few weeks. Today we come to Easter Day, knowing that actually we're still in the same space, as Reverend Heather said last week in her Palm Sunday sermon. Actually, nothing has changed. We still can't meet. We're still in our own homes. We're still missing people and missing the things that make our lives perhaps worthwhile, giving us a reason to live. But I was struck by how much excitement inside me there still was for today. Yesterday I tried to be gentle in the preparations, so I did make sure that the Easter garden would be able to be made ready this morning. I did buy the chocolate Easter eggs. I did sort things out at church so that at the very least there is a bower of flowers around the top of the pulpit, proclaiming to the whole of the community that Christ is risen. And as the day went on and I looked forward to lighting the Easter fire in my garden and for finding the new candle that I had for Easter, I could feel the excitement building that actually, of course, Jesus is risen whatever is going on in our lives. Whatever is happening in the wider world, death has been conquered already. Love has won the day. We need not be afraid. Those were the words that Jesus says to his disciples at the Last Supper. Do not be afraid. They're the words that the angels say to Mary as she comes to the tomb. Do not be afraid. He is not here. He is risen. Mary gets up in the dark on that first Easter morning with no excitement in her heart. She isn't running out to put flowers around a pulpit. She's not setting Easter eggs in a garden for an Easter egg hunt. She's not changing the cloths and lighting the candles. She's not excited at all. She's bereaved and grief-stricken, like so many people in our own country and across the world today. She gets up on that first Easter morning in the dark. It is still dark, dark in her heart and dark in her mind. And the only thing she can think to do, to give to the person she loved, who gave her freedom and life from her sins, is to take her bottle of perfume, the spices, and to go to put them on her beloved Jesus. Perhaps she's not even sure how she's going to do this. Remember, there's a massive stone in front of the tomb. But something in her moves her forward, propels her to the path that will lead to the garden where the tomb is, hewn out of the rock. Maybe she doesn't really understand what she's doing. Maybe she's moving through numb shock and grief. Perhaps she hasn't really thought it through at all. This is just something that she knows she has to do. So many people in grief know that they just have to do something. And it might seem a really silly thing to the outside world, but that is really important to them. Mary slips out of the house with her perfume and her spices and makes her way just as the dawn is rising, just as the sun is coming up over the horizon. She arrives at the tomb, and to her shock, another shock, and to her horror, she finds that the stone has already been rolled away. So this is injury adding to injury, because she immediately thinks that that means the body has been taken. That Jesus, even in the last moments, she cannot have what she wanted. Jesus has been completely taken from her. Every single part of her must have just cried out in agony. And yet the angel there says, "Do not be afraid. He is not here. He has risen." Mary goes and runs to the disciples, and she tells them. And Peter and John run out, running, because surely this cannot be true. Surely this woman cannot be the apostle to the apostles. She can't be telling the truth. Something else must have happened. Peter, in his energy and all his enthusiasm, outruns John and gets to the tomb first, runs directly in and sees the linen wrappings lying there. He too knows in that moment that Jesus, his friend who he has denied, has gone, or something has happened. John puts his head around the tomb and looks in also. He notices that the linen wrappings are folded carefully. This is not someone who has been stolen. This is someone who has deliberately risen. And they run back, Peter and John, leaving Mary. Mary weeping outside the tomb. For many of us, the people we want to have close at this time can't be with us. And perhaps it feels a little like we're abandoned. Perhaps it feels a little like we're left weeping outside of the tomb. But in the midst of her tears and the agony of heart and mind and soul and body comes a voice that she knows very well. The voice calls her by name. Mary. And it is in the calling of the name that she is recognized, and she is then able to recognize Jesus in return. The man she had supposed for the gardener is the man who calls her name with such love and such joy. But even then, Mary doesn't sing a song of praise, like the previous Mary, like Mary, the mother of Jesus. She doesn't suddenly see that the whole world is all good and fine. She's given a job to do, to go and tell the disciples that she has seen the Lord. At first, they won't believe her. But over time, they will. For us on Easter Day, it's a day of rejoicing. Of course it is. Wherever we are and whatever we're doing today, even in the midst of all of this, it is a day for rejoicing. But when we look at the disciples, they weren't rejoicing on Easter Day. They were still locked behind closed doors, fearful of what had happened, what they had seen on that first Easter Day, and not knowing how and what and where they had to be next. For us today, this Easter Day, is a little like that. We're still locked in our houses. We're not sure what the timing is going to be. We don't know where or what or how we need to be. All we do know is that each of our names is known by Christ, and each of us is called by him and redeemed by him. And it is in that redemption that we can find hope even today, when perhaps, like the disciples, we're frightened, we're confused, we're not sure what, where, or how to be. In the calling of your name is everything that Jesus knows about you. Your whole soul lifted up from the depths of death into new life, giving you the power to run and tell the good news. Bishop Rachel, in her sermon this morning, talked about the statistics that we are hearing about on a daily basis at the moment. The statistics are numbers, but behind all of those numbers are names. Names of people who are important to other people. And behind each of those numbers are the names of the doctors and nurses who have cared for them. Those who will tenderly care for them in their death as well as in their life. And those who will take them and bury them. And in all of that, we can trust that Jesus is with them every single step of the way. For he has been there before them and is risen. So even today, when Easter feels a lot less like Easter, perhaps, we can still be excited for the hope of the risen Christ, who stands before us and calls us by name, who has redeemed us and given us his everlasting love. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.